John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague and friend Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, observing the world as it comes out of the cocoon of the pandemic and enters into challenges in the recovery. The first challenge is how to read the news about the high end, fashion. I'm speaking in particular of Condé Nast, Vogue, and Harper's Bazaar, and the magazines that have dominated glossies for my lifetime. There is a tower in the center of New York, the Condé Nast building, that is a glass palace. To ride a taxi by it or to walk by it on 42nd Street, you see a line of very prosperous-looking people coming out and getting into black limousines, often Teslas, to be whisked around the city on their chores of assembling editorial to support the glossy pictures. But, Chris, a very good evening to you. Anna Wintour, who is now promoted to be chief content officer of all of Condé Nast, recently commented that as we come out of the recovery, there will be a very, very decided demand for high end. I believe she gave us the image of either a line around Gucci's or a line around another high end store. That is striking if it's true, but it collides with an item that you've brought to my attention from Variety about the Condé Nast Towers and the future of working in the city. What can we guess about the high end from the suggestion that Condé Nast is in some kind of retreat or at least a half step back? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. I think you're seeing across the country what is best referred to as that K recovery. At the upper tier, people who are well-employed, well-salaried, doing quite well through this, having not spent money. So I think Ms. Wintour is correct in saying there will be demand on that high end, but also across the country in the lower tier, much more of the service economy, the less well-compensated. You're seeing just destruction of value there. And in traveling across the country and seeing the increase, whether it be in California or Oregon or Texas, homeless encampments growing and growing, these new generation Hoovervilles of people that were negatively impacted by the virus and losing their jobs, it's definitely a tale of two recoveries.
The publications are powerful, very powerful. This includes The New Yorker, of course, and Vanity Fair. And they moved in 6 years ago, according to Variety, and they're now looking to renegotiate their lease in some fashion, cut back or adjust for the fact that the workforce likes hybrid working, working at home and coming into the office. However, you have for some time observed that the profound change in commercial real estate following the recovery will look like not exactly empty buildings, but buildings renegotiating their leases. Is that too modest for what we're learning now? Are people abandoning their leases? Are they getting out of town? Are they decamping to smaller cities? Can you tell?
What you're seeing is a new normal where the traditional dense urban center is starting to be replaced in terms of desire from customers and from employees for the more suburban campus type environments. So I think that for the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, there will be challenges in large cities in the major metro environments where large blocks of space, large users are downsizing, are restructuring. Principal among those, the banks who are giving back millions and millions of feet across the country as they no longer need to have that staff as you continue the trend towards e-banking and remote working. But I think that you'll see a lot of forced creative change and use in those gleaming towers to make them viable again.
Also, unemployment in America, especially unemployment in large cities, it is striking to learn, most recently from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that unemployment in most of the states of the union have returned to or near to pre-pandemic, except for, and aren't we surprised, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, the blue states are still showing very high unemployment compared to the rest of the country. Chris, does that distort the coverage of the recovery? Does that distort the coverage of the virus and what is to be done? That the journalists are living in cities that are out of step with the rest of America.
I think there's certainly an interesting correlation to be drawn between high unemployment and duration or severity of lockdowns. And I think you're seeing that in the BLS stats that say those states that were locked down more aggressively are suffering economically greater than those that came out quickly. But that's probably a highly charged political statement that could get you banned on Twitter. So that being said, the use case of governors that are saying, hey, maybe we took the action to open earlier, are seeing benefit in much stronger employment numbers.
Supply chain. The cities are connected to supply chains. The workers are connected to the cities. The cities pay attention to what Condé Nast does. All of this comes together because the supply chain rules the world. What I'm reading is that there are supply chain troubles in something very rarefied. Chip makers, especially for sophisticated automobiles, which are global right now. Do you see that shortage elsewhere besides chip makers or high-end, deeply tech items? Do you see it in all directions in Asia and in Europe?
There are two principal problems happening today in that supply chain. One, you have chip makers that might have been on an 8 to 10 week after receipt of order deliverable that have moved to 24, 26, 32 weeks. You're seeing greatly extended supply chains due to demand. Second, you're seeing major, major disruptions in logistics. So shipping containers over the ocean, shipping via air, a container ship that might have been a normal 4 week from China to the West Coast U.S. is still 4 weeks to move, but it's sitting off the U.S. West Coast for 3, 4, 5 months, and you're seeing air shipments that were 2 days becoming now 2 to 3 weeks to move those in. So you're seeing disruptions based on both the volumes and then just inability to move product on both sides of that supply chain.
The answer might be both, but is this because there was a poor understanding of the recovery? The inventories were let go, to go too low during the depths of the virus? Or is this because what we're looking at right now is a genuine inability for the world to respond to the demand coming out of the recovery? Can we blame it on inventory, or can we blame it on the population that wants to spend money?
I think it could be both, but also a third factor. Not unlike when refineries shut down at the peak of driving season, you're seeing freight and transport rates skyrocket 3 to 10 times higher than normal. So I believe that some of the scarcity is also being created within that transport industry, where they're able to take tremendous price advantage in cost per kilogram of content moved because of that scarcity. So both high demand, disrupted supply chains, and then taking price advantage is making it extremely profitable to be in their shipping businesses today.
John Authors, who writes for Bloomberg News, observing generally the world and its contest with China, politics, climate, geopolitics, terrain, region, all of that, generally observes that the Chinese market has in some fashion slowed down or not come back to its former pace. It's not growing at the same rate it was. This might be maturity. However, does that affect all of us, that China is not snapping back or is not roaring ahead? Are we wired into China's prosperity?
So China is publicly showing extremely good numbers on GDP, but many of the people that I talk to and with our operations there, we're hearing a different story, that things have recovered from the depths of the virus and the lockdowns, but things are not quite as good as maybe projected outwardly.
Back to the Condé Nast building. This is Variety reporting that Condé Nast is looking to renegotiate its lease. Other cities in the country, do you expect them to follow this model, Chris, that after the pandemic, we're all rethinking office space and leases, and there will be a new day?
You're seeing both the push of more jobs to be virtual or home-based jobs, number one, which I think will put pressure on some of those assets and some of those resources. But two, you're seeing significant change in industries. Banking is a great example. Retail is another example, where as technology continues to march forward, the model of heads needed in those industries is reducing dramatically and making that more and more difficult to justify having large blocks of space to support those workers who may not be needed in the future.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala, Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report, and we're from Condé Nast's beautiful building on 42nd Street to the shipping troubles or challenges around the world, we're looking at a recovery. 100 years from now, they'll figure all this out and they'll say, well, of course this and of course that. But right now, we're connecting points that might not work. We're looking into the darkness of the recovery. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.